the digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, an absurd black comedy thriller by Sebastian Bonchkiewicz. A junior diplomat, Bob Goldacre, is in trouble. The American businessman he was looking after has vanished from a Baghdad street. The Casper Logue affair is based on the story The Hunchback, found in the Arabian Nights, which deals with the extraordinary events that take place after the death of the king's favourite fool.
And when you listen to the servants, the people of the palace, what do they say about their king, Shahrazad? There's no need to be shy, child. Speak.
They say that you are cruel, Radiant Majesty.
Cruel. Fascinating. Fig.
Your Majesty dishonors himself.
Consider it a gift in exchange for your candor. Take one, please.
Thank you.
They are right, of course, about my cruelty. Spot on, in fact.
Are they?
Are they not?
I would say that both you and they are mistaken.
Even though you'll be dead by daybreak?
Yes.
So, tell me how it is that a king who has dispatched 1,000 brides cannot be considered cruel. Speak, child. Amaze me with your acumen.
I would say that the great king Shahryar is not cruel, but indifferent. As a cat is indifferent to the bird he has just snatched and killed, toying aimlessly with its carcass in the still of the afternoon, waiting idly for some new distraction.
And what distraction could you possibly offer me?
A story.
And you imagine that a story will save you from this great indifference of mine?
I believe a story may save us all.
Then please, amaze me.
As your Majesty desires. In the great and ancient city of Baghdad, there was once a lowly servant of the state.
Goldacre!
And it was this same poor Bob Goldacre's responsibility to ensure the well-being of a most favored merchant from the strange and wonderful land of America. A merchant by the name of...
Logue! Casper Logue. Pleasure to meet you, Bob. Can't tell you how glad I am to be on board with you today, fella.
Casper Logue, a gentleman whose diminished stature was matched only by the exaggerated size of his purse.
Wait, Shahrazad, wait. What is this land of which you speak?
America. A place of unimaginable wealth and plenty, Majesty.
Greater than mine?
The story that I am telling you, O wise and happy king, took place a long, long time ago. An age of marvels, both terrible and wondrous. When the potholed roads heaved with vehicles packed with weapons of terrifying and deadly effectiveness. When words and pictures could be transmitted on the wind by jinns of unimaginable power.
Good evening, I'm Charlene Lane, and fears are growing in Baghdad as to the whereabouts of businessman Casper Logue. Early reports are inconclusive, but it would appear that Mr. Logue, executive director of the Levinson Hotel Syndicate, was abducted as he toured the Mansour district of the city. Official sources are keen to stress that it is too early to speculate on exactly what has taken place, but they are not ruling out the possibility of kidnapping, as potentially yet another name is added to the sad and ever-growing list of abductees in that troubled area.
And this, as you may imagine, O wise and happy king, was not altogether good news for Bob Goldacre.
You lost him, Bob? How the hell did you lose him?
I don't know, sir. One second Mr. Logue was with us on the street, and the next he'd completely disappear.
And you didn't try to stop him, Bob?
I know how it sounds, Mr. Hammond, sir, but I swear he just vanished.
Vanished?
Vanished.
Casper Logue. A guest. A guest, Bob, of the United States government, and a friend. A personal friend of mine. Just vanished on a Baghdad side street? Is that what you're telling me?
Obviously, I take full responsibility for everything, sir.
You got that right, Bob. Now, from the top, again, exactly what happened?
Yes, sir. Of course, sir. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before, sir, and I can't apologize enough.
Just get on with it.
Well, as I described in my report, I had turned to speak to one of the other delegates from the street when Mr. Logue interjected.
These other delegates sure look nervous, don't they, Bob?
As long as we stay inside of the security personnel in the Humvee, we should be fine, Mr. Logue. Now, if you just bear with me a moment, I have to speak to Mr.
Guthrie. You know,
Guthrie.
To tell you the honest truth, I wasn't quite expecting there to be so many delegates. I thought old Rick Hammond had arranged this little trip just for me.
Well, you'd have to speak to Mr. Hammond about that.
Oh, I intend to, Bob. I intend to. Now, tell me, that street over there is Alamira Street, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is, but it's not really on our itinerary.
It isn't. I thought Hammond arranged it specifically.
Well, as you know, Baghdad's still an extremely volatile city.
And either the American and Iraqi governments wants guys like me to assess its potentialities, or it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Logue. I don't know what Mr. Hammond may have said to you, but this really isn't the safest district to investigate.
Well, hell, Bob, that's the whole reason I'm out here.
Is there a problem over there, Mr. Goldacre?
Be with you in just one moment, Mr. Guthrie. Maybe you ought to speak directly to Mr. Hammond when we get back to the embassy in the Green Zone. He'd be much better placed to advise you as to what's happened.
You saying you can't make decisions for yourself, Bob?
No, I'm saying that that would be an unscheduled trip in an unstable district, Mr. Logan. While you're within my zone of responsibility, I need you and all the other delegates to observe the established protocols.
Don't you try and tongue-twist me with that Pentagon patois, Bob. You want to get someplace in this world? Then you better start thinking out of the box.
Everyone back in the Humvee right now! Mr. Logue! Mr. Logue!
I do recognize that this is my responsibility, Mr. Hammond. I do.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. But I had the other delegates to deal with, and Mr. Logue seemed determined to go off on his own, no matter what.
And it was your job to make sure he didn't. Hammond. No, I already told you, Maxine. No calls unless it's urgent. Now tell whoever it is that this office has no comment to make at this time. What? Oh, I see. Okay, put him through. Yes, of course, I'll hold. Boy, oh boy. That Casper Lowe.
I understand that we've closed down the entire Mansour district, sir.
Not a problem?
No, sir. It's just...
Just what?
We wouldn't want to make a bad situation worse, would we?
Finding Mr. Logue is our first responsibility, over and above all else, including public relations. Just hold on there a second, Bob. Yes, this is Rick Hammond. Hello there, Sergeant. Would you mind saying that again, please? All right. I'm going to come right down and see the suspect right now. And I'm sure I don't need to remind you of the sensitivity of this situation.
Is everything all right, sir?
My God, Maxine, how many times do I have to... Oh, when does he want to speak with me? Okay, tell the ambassador I'll be right here. That was the ambassador. He's demanding some kind of explanation right now. Which means I'm going to go against my better judgment and trust you with this, Bob.
Of course, sir. Anything. Thank you.
I need you to go down to holding cell 7Q and interview a gentleman by the name of Waylon Kinderman, head chef of the Happy Pizza.
The Happy Pizza?
Located 300 yards from this building, smack in the beating heart of the Green Zone.
I'm not sure I understand, sir.
Mr. Kinderman was arrested tonight for trying to dispose of the body of Casper Logue at 2100 hours.
Does that mean Mr. Logue's...
dead. Yes, Bob, Mr. Logue's dead. Dead is your damn career if you mess this interview up. You got yourself one of these, Goldacre?
I don't have a gun, sir. No, I didn't think it was
allowed.
Well,
it might not be a bad idea to get yourself one. And it goes without saying, I want this Kinderman fella dealt with discreetly. You answer to me, and nobody else. Clear?
Clear.
Now, get going, and don't screw it up.
And so, with a full and heavy heart, poor Bob Goldacre trudges wearily along the dust-encrusted corridors to fulfill his unfortunate duty. While... at that very same moment, in a poorly furnished room, in a quiet corner of the Mansur district, in a one-bedroom apartment occupied by Rahim the tailor and his beautiful wife Asira, a woman whose beauty was as dazzling and radiant as the scorching sun, O wise and happy king.
This monkey's gone to heaven. This monkey's gone to heaven.
What is wrong with you, Rahim?
I was listening to that.
As was the rest of the neighborhood.
We have to stay calm, Azira. Staying calm is the most important thing we can do, yes?
What about the American patrols on the streets?
That's why we have to behave as if everything is normal.
Oh, and so you play Pixie Records.
It's the Pixies. Leave it.
What if it's this man, Shep, that Casper talked about?
I said leave it.
I think we should answer it.
No.
Yes. Hello?
Who is it?
He wants to talk to you.
Hello? Yes, this is Rahim. Please don't shout, sir. Casper is dead. No, I had no idea. He left here hours ago. Yes, hours. No, he didn't take the item. I don't know why. He left the item with us. Okay. I understand.
Was it Shep?
Yes.
And?
And they found Casper's body.
So they know he's dead?
That's why Shep's coming here.
He's coming here?
To pick up the statue soon as he can.
And you agreed to that, Rahim?
What else was I supposed to do? Listen to me, Azira. While we have the statue, we're safe. While we have the statue, nobody can do a thing to us.
Why did you have to bring Casper here? I knew it would go wrong. I just knew it. Oh, God.
Azira, don't.
You know what they're going to do tonight, don't you?
Please.
Everything turned upside down. Everybody's screaming, arrests, killings. Oh, what have we done, Rahim? What have we done?
I'll fetch you a wet cloth.
Oh, we're finished. We're finished.
Come on. Come on, stupid pipes.
Oh, kicking it won't do much good.
You want to know the reason Casper Lod came to this house? These pipes. These filthy, stinking pipes are the reason.
Ah! Quiet, Rahim.
Then don't you dare suggest that I don't get the trouble we're in. But you know as well as I do that Casper's death was not our fault.
Wasn't it?
Just speak into the microphone, Mr. Kinderman.
Am I under arrest, Mr. Goldacre? Because if I'm under arrest, I'd like to speak to my attorney.
Can we just focus on what happened earlier this evening, please?
And this is just for internal use.
You'd be assisting us greatly.
So this is like confidential.
What exactly were you doing when you came across Mr. Lowe?
I didn't kill him, if that's what you're implying.
Just answer the question, please.
I was in the yard with Carlton having a cigarette.
That would be Carlton Pennymore?
That would.
And he's an associate of yours?
He is. As you well know from that little dossier you got there, my business partner. Now, I don't know what your little buddy was doing dead in the back of that truck, but it had nothing to do with me.
And this was the truck where you discovered Mr. Logue?
This was.
So?
So we're enjoying our cigarettes in the still of a Baghdad night. And Carlton's talking the same Louisiana hogwash he always talks.
You think Michelle washes Obama's pants, Waylon? Michelle don't wash no pants. They got a maid to do it. They got an army of maids to do it. Michelle don't wash no presidential pants.
And you know this for a fact, do you, Carlton? Hmm? You've been party to wash day at the White House? Now, you gonna help me unload this truck or what?
I'm not saying she couldn't wash his pants. I'm not saying she wouldn't. I'm saying she chooses not to. Because she and the president got their own agendas. And those agendas don't say nothing about washing pants.
Oh, you okay, Waylon?
Go and get Conrad.
What you want Conrad for?
You stand up there, fella.
Is there someone in the truck?
I told you to go and get Conrad.
Conrad? Who's Conrad?
Conrad's more of a what than a who. if you get my meaning.
I'm not sure that I do, Mr. Kinderman. Now, while I appreciate that the death of a leading American businessman may be some sort of joke as far as you're concerned, I can assure you that we at the embassy do not consider it so.
Now, you just hang on there, Mr. Goldacre. I done 4 tours of duty. 4. Ex-Marine Corps, I'm proud of it. I risked my butt I don't know how many times in defense of my country. And now that I've made the difficult transition to civilian life, I just want to be a valued and profitable part of the reconstruction. Hell, I got 7 Iraqis working in my kitchen, and they are good workers, hard workers. Everyone.
That's duly noted, Mr. Kinder.
Well, I sincerely hope it is. Yes, I do. Because for your information, I ain't never heard of this Casper Logue before tonight. Which means I don't got no reason to have any kind of a beef with him.
All right. Thank you. Can we please get back to Conrad?
Whatever you say. And by the way, you of Latin extraction?
Mexican.
And now you say it, I can see it. Round your eyes there. I had myself a Mexican girl once upon a time.
Who or what is Conrad?
Why, that's as easy as pie to explain. Conrad's a bat.
This is wrong. This is all wrong.
You just pipe down out there, Carlton. Now, I ain't gonna ask you again, mister.
What's he doing?
He ain't doing nothing. Just crouching down there by the eggplants.
You think he's okay?
Just hold up there, Carlton. I'm bringing this boy out.
Oh, my sweet Lord, Waylon. Who the hell is that?
I don't know, and I don't want to know. Now, help me grab a hold of his legs, and let's get him out of here.
Are you serious?
Carlton?
Kind of short, ain't he? Looks like a yank.
And a dead one.
Shouldn't we be alerting the authorities?
Just do what I say, will you? Okay, you lift on 3. 1, 2...
Kind of heavy, ain't he, for a short guy?
Are you telling me that Mr. Logue was already dead?
The little guy was dead. That's all I know.
All right, Mr. Kinderman.
Now, you listen to me, Mr. Goldacre. I ain't gonna be no patsy. That man was dead. Dead as disco. You understand me?
That's duly noted.
What do you mean, it's duly noted? I made a mistake. I admit it. But I was afraid. I'm petrified.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Goldacre.
Yes, Mr. Hammond.
You the guy in charge here?
If I could speak to you for a moment outside, Bob.
I asked you a question.
Right now, Mr. Goldacre, if you please.
Well, that's real charming behavior. Yes, sir, it is.
I'll be right with you, sir. We'll reconvene later, Mr. Kinderman.
No, I'm sure we will.
You can forget about this fellow, Kinderman.
Forget him, but...
We just got ourselves a new lead. A Dr. Karim. Handed himself over to the military a half hour ago, apparently admitting to the death of Mr. Logue.
A doctor?
And I'd like you to go interview him right now, while I go back and speak to the ambassador. Oh, and you can thank me that you still have a job.
Did the ambassador say something about me?
Let's just say that he was not amused. Now, get everything you can out of this Dr. Karim, and for your sake, Bob, make it something we want to hear.
Helicopters now. Look, Rahim. Right above the building.
Come away from the window, Asira.
We can't let this carry on.
We have to wait until Shep arrives.
Oh, innocent people are going to die tonight. And their blood is going to be on our hands, you and me. And all because of you and that evil statue of yours.
If the authorities suspect that we had anything to do with Casper Log's death, then what do you suppose they're going to do to us?
And Dr. Karim? Oh, what about him?
I can't worry about Dr. Karim. Shep said to stay still and out of sight, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
And the statue?
What about it?
We should hide it.
Are you insane?
Think, Rahim, think. What's to stop this Shep from taking the statue and getting rid of us?
You're not touching that statue. Where do you think you're going?
To warn Dr.
You're Kane. Not leaving this house, and neither is that statue. Now go watch TV or something.
Out of the way!
I mean it!
I'm sorry, Rahim. I'll ring you when I found Karim. And I'm taking the statue.
Come in, Azira! Azira!
And with that, oh wise and happy king, Azira slipped silently away into the night, quite unaware of the perils that lay in wait for her. And there the story must end.
What?
The moon wanes, and soon it will be daybreak. Surely your majesty will allow me a moment or two to prepare to
meet... But what of Azira and Rahim?
But then your majesty would have to delay my death.
Don't test my patience, child. Please, speak.
If that is what your majesty pleases...
Just get on with it.
As your majesty commands. And so, with her poor heart pounding, Azira cautiously makes her way out into the fury of a Baghdad night, quickly retracing her earlier footsteps when she and Rahim had cautiously ventured forth with the dead body of Caspar Logue wrapped carefully in a rug.
They took his body into the street?
Yes, Majesty.
Then they are the murderers, surely?
Not exactly, Majesty.
Then what?
Your Majesty must be patient.
This is a most alarming story.
And all will become clear.
I most sincerely hope so, for your sake, Shahrazad.
A story must take its own time to be told.
Then why are you wasting it?
Indeed, Majesty. And oh, how tenderly Azira had wrapped poor Caspar's body as if he were her own sweet child. And witness now how her poor heart cries out in anguish, not just because of the military patrols cruising the strangely deserted streets, but because of the terrible guilt rising inexorably in her unhappy breast. And now, as the wise, benign, and constant moon rises steadily to fill a sky sung with stars, she eventually arrives at poor Dr. Karim's house. And with a gentle knock at the door, she cautiously announces her presence.
Dr. Karim, please, answer the door.
But there is no reply. Azira, terrified, knocks again at an empty house, recalling with each hopeless knock the dreadful moments she shared with Rahim in the same yard not 3 hours before.
Is anybody about?
It looks clear.
It looks clear or it is clear?
It is clear. This is wrong, Rahim. Very wrong.
Pass the body up to me.
What's Dr. Karim supposed to do with Caspar's body?
Dr. Karim will know what to do.
How will he know what to do?
He's a doctor.
Caspar's dead.
I know he's dead.
Then how can Dr. Karim help him?
How am I supposed to know? Just pass me up the rug.
We're making a terrible mistake.
Well, we couldn't just have left Caspar on the floor of our apartment, could we?
Yes, but Caspar's your cousin.
What's that got to do with anything? Now pass me up the body.
Be quick, Rahim.
His legs are falling out of the rug.
They won't go in.
Then just grab his feet and heave. I got it. I can't get it over the wall.
There's a moped coming.
What?
Dr. Karim's moped. Hurry.
Yeah, my hands got under his belly.
He's coming, Rahim.
He's over the wall. Let's go. Let's go.
But now, Azira attempts to banish these memories to as far away a corner of her mind as she can.
Dr. Karim, please. Answer the door.
Yet still there is no answer, and as Azira stands alone in the yard, her mind a hive of anguish as to what may now have happened to poor Dr. Karim, she can bear the guilt of what she and her husband have done no longer. And right there and then, the lovely Azira makes the most momentous decision of her life.
All right, Goldacre. Let me get this absolutely straight. You're telling me that Dr. Karim confessed to running Caspar Logue down.
While, at that very moment, poor Goldacre answers once again to his most troublesome master.
With his moped.
So we're looking at a Rodex.
Not exactly, sir.
Not exactly? Surely that has to be the end of the matter.
Usually it would be, Mr. Hammond, sir, except that, according to Dr. Kareem, the body was already in his yard when he arrived home.
In what way was it in his yard?
In an already dead way.
Are you saying somebody planted it there?
I am. And that's not all, sir.
Give me strength.
Casper Logue's body appears to have been carefully wrapped in a rug.
Where's this doctor? I want to speak to this doctor.
Kareem.
Kareem.
Unfortunately, that's going to be difficult, sir.
In what way difficult?
Difficult as in impossible, sir.
Is this going to disappoint me, Bob?
Dr. Kareem died in custody an hour ago.
He what?
Right after giving his statement. He just keeled over. It was nothing to do with us. I do assure you, sir, and I know that you're going to want to blame me, but...
You okay, Goldacre?
Bob. You see, I've never seen anything like it, sir. A man dying. It's not something I was prepared for. And Dr. Kareem's a man of irreproachable character. I checked. He's just completed a double shift at the Al Yarmouk Hospital, and what's more, I sincerely believe he had no idea either as to who Mr. Logue was or what he was doing here in Baghdad. Which means, I guess, that somebody must have singled out Dr. Kareem's garden, which is crazy, don't you think? Completely crazy.
You need to take a second here, Bob. Collect your thoughts. Who's to say this Dr. Kareem was telling us the truth?
Why wouldn't he be? The poor man was confused and completely terrified.
Well, it looks to me as if you've got yourself a career-saving solution to all your problems. I think we can run with this road accident thing.
You're not being serious.
This is Baghdad. Bad things happen all the time.
But when a man like Dr. Kareem's involved...
It's tragic, Bob, truly, and I feel for Dr. Kareem. I really do. But
surely we're not... We're supposed to be protecting these people, not...
You really need to get a hold of yourself here, Bob. As far as I'm concerned, this matter is now closed. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a very important appointment I must attend to.
No, I'm sorry to say this, sir, but I can't help but feel that Mr. Logue was not being entirely honest with us this morning about his plans, what he intended on doing.
I hope you're not intending to besmirch Casper Logue's good name, Bob?
Of course not, sir.
Then what are you suggesting?
All I'm saying is that Dr. Kareem's only fault seems to have been blind panic.
Explain.
It was Dr. Kareem who placed Mr. Logue's body in the vegetable truck which Wayland Kinderman unloaded.
I see.
It was just the guilt of that which propelled him to hand himself in to us.
Well, I think we can forget about that part.
Forget about it?
Sometimes it behoves us to act expediently, Bob. Or are you determined to continue to question the judgment of your superior?
No, sir.
Now, as I say, I've got an appointment. I'll be out of the office for an hour or two, smoothing things over. Which means I need you here to field calls.
Well, what do I say if it's the ambassador?
You remember where your first loyalty lies and you speak accordingly.
Yes, sir.
Glad we're back on the same page, Bob. Think you'd better get that. I'll be back just as soon as...
Mr. Hammond's office, Bob Goldacre speaking. Slow down there, Maxie. There's a woman who's handed herself into our custody who says she what?
But what, you may wonder, O wise and happy king of Rahim? Look at him there in his tiny apartment, hunched over his rickety table, terrified and alone.
Hazira? Oh, yes. Hello, Shep. Yes, the item's still here. No, I won't go anywhere.
Where are you, Hazira?
All right. Let's go through this again, Asira.
Where, indeed? Oh, wise and happy king.
Oh, how many times I tell you!
So, just to be clear, just to be absolutely clear, you're telling me that you and your husband wrapped Casper Logue's body in a rug and you put it in Dr. Kareem's yard?
Yes.
And Dr. Kareem was entirely unaware of this?
Yes, entirely. Is Dr. Kareem all right?
Dr. Kareem is dead.
Dead?
In this building, not 3 hours ago. A good and entirely innocent man. Now, What I want to know, what I need to know, is what Casper Logue was doing in your apartment. The reason. The exact reason. Asira.
There was a statue.
Good. What kind of a statue?
And now, finally, she tells him everything.
It's a nice apartment you have here for Baghdad. Not bad at all.
Are you intending to shoot me, Shep?
That all very much depends on you. Now, for the last time, where is the goddamn statue?
I don't know.
Then I suggest you think a little harder.
I don't know, I swear. It was my wife. She take it. I tell her not to, but...
But?
Please don't hit me again.
Well now, who's this at the door? Let's both hope it's your wife.
She's innocent. Innocent. The statue was nothing to do with her.
Not another word, Rahim, or I will shoot.
Good evening, Mr. Hammond.
Goldacre.
What's going on here?
Perhaps you ought to put that gun down, and I'll tell you.
I will if you will, sir.
Who is this man?
I told you to shut up. Oh!
No, don't hurt him!
Ah, the lovely Asira, I presume. Can we get a military detail right here now and arrest these two, Mr. Goldacre? I believe we may have discovered Mr. Logue's assassins. Right now would be good.
I don't think I can do that, sir.
What did you say?
You see, Asira told me a most amazing story tonight. And I think you might be interested to hear it.
Yeah, we'll hear it back at the embassy.
Oh, I think it ought to be heard right here. You see, it's kind of sensitive. Especially as it concerns this statue here.
Where the hell did you get that?
That's a scary-looking thing, wouldn't you say, Shep?
What did you call me?
Asira?
Have you taken leave of your senses?
Perhaps you'd like to tell Mr. Hammond here exactly what you told me.
This is Shep.
Now, don't be scared. Just speak.
Don't do this, Asira.
I won't lie anymore, Rahim. Casper Logue came to this apartment as was planned.
Don't you understand? This man will kill us.
Nobody's going to be killing anyone. Not while I'm here. Now go on, Asira.
Casper Logue came to see...
The statue, Rahim. I'd like to see the statue.
Immediately, Casper. Is it not a wonder?
The demon Labatu. Just sitting there, just as you described. Can I touch it?
Of course, of course.
Oh, my.
It's Assyrian.
It's magnificent.
500 BC, approximately.
It's a figure of a demon. A demon of the dead.
Not now, Asira.
And should be returned to the museum you stole it from.
You're embarrassing us in front of our guests.
You mind if I cut in here, Rahim?
Please, forgive my wife's discourtesy, Caspar.
Way I see it, you could have left this beautiful artifact right where it was. But then the chances are some other desperado, lacking in your husband's wherewithal, would have run away with it, and it would now be moldering in some unspeakable basement someplace. Am I right, Rahim?
You're absolutely right, Caspar.
Now, I appreciate that you may have ambiguous feelings about me coming here today, Asira. But, you know, if me finding a buyer for this statue in the U.S. and me organizing for you two to have a home in my very own hometown of Clompett is not something that appeals, then I can just as easily walk out of here and you will never hear of me again. Cousin or no cousin.
And if something go wrong?
That's the beauty part. Nothing can go wrong. I've got a man, let's call him Shep, runs his own department in the American Embassy, and he's going to get the statue to my buyer in New York. Voici, et voila.
And how will he do this?
Diplomatic bags come in all shapes and sizes.
And if this Shep should betray?
Then he's down a fortune. And believe me, he won't want to lose that. This is Iraq, kids. We're all businessmen here. Now, do we have a deal or don't we?
And you believe this BS, Bob?
It's true.
It's exactly true.
I must admit, I found it difficult to process at first, but then when I thought about it, it all kind of made sense.
You're not doing yourself any favors, you know.
You were Casper's sole contact here in Baghdad. And I guess if things hadn't taken so bizarre a turn, then you and Mr. Logue would be congratulating yourselves on your prize right now.
And what's to stop me killing all three of you right now?
The digital recorder back at the embassy.
The what?
Now, I'd suggest you put the gun down, sir, and listen carefully to what we have to say. Or that tape will be released no matter the consequence.
Are you trying to blackmail me?
Nothing could be further from my mind.
I brought you into the department. And is this how you repay me?
I wasn't going to stand by and see an innocent man's good name destroyed just to protect your money, Mr. Hammond. Now, if you don't mind, the gun.
You know, I had hopes for you.
And I had hopes too, sir. And then I came to Baghdad and...
Well, just at this second, it would appear you have me over a barrel. So, would your new friends mind telling me what happened to him, Casper? I'd be really interested to know.
Asira?
Yes, Mr. Goldacre.
Perhaps you'd care to finish your story.
Gone to heaven. This monkey is gone to heaven.
I can't believe you like this song.
I make a tape in 92.
Well, first thing I'm gonna do when I get you to Compton is buy you the CD. Yes, I am, cuz.
It's too loud!
What?
It's too loud!
Hey!
There's chicken, bread, olives.
It looks delicious, Asira.
And then you leave. For safety's sake.
With the statue.
With the statue.
Boy, oh boy. This chicken is delicious.
Asira is best cook in Baghdad.
She sure is. Why, it's nothing less than a little taste of heaven. I'm so tender. You know, the day I got your letter, Rahim, the day it arrived in my office, I thought, I knew that this was the right thing to do. To think that here was you, my Iraqi cousin thrice removed, and his beautiful wife here in this hellhole of suffering? Well, I wasn't going to do nothing, was I? Wasn't going to stand back and see you denied a taste of farm-fresh freedom.
That's very good of you, Casper.
Rahim, Asira, I thought you lost, and now you are found. Oh. I drink to you.
I thank you for these beautiful words, Casper. But I wonder, would you have come if it weren't for our demon?
Man, but you're a live one, ain't you?
Well, Casper, would you?
Okay. I'm not going to try and pretend that this lion-headed she-demon of yours didn't sharpen my resolve for hazardous adventure. But I came, didn't I? I'm sitting here, aren't I? Especially given the fact that we three are looking at a starting price of $2 million.
$2 million?
A 70-30 split in your favor, less 200K for our man, Shep.
I don't know what to say, Casper.
Why, you don't need to say nothing. Just give me another piece of that chicken.
Casper?
Oh, my God.
Water, Asira, water. Casper?
Drink this. Oh, my God, he's choking. A minute later, and Casper was dead.
You're really intending to dance on my grave, aren't you, Bob?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, I don't think I'm going to give you that satisfaction.
No,
don't do this, sir. Please.
Frightened the sound of me blowing my brains out might not sound too good on that little tape of yours. Oh, and by the way, I can't believe that you two were so stupid as to think that Casper Logue was really going to get you over to the States.
He's nice to us.
Can we all? Please, calm down. Please. Thank you. Now, Mr. Hammond, put the gun down and let's work this thing out.
Oh, and I suppose you have a solution?
Yes, sir, I believe I have.
And what would I have to do?
Leave Baghdad.
With my career in tatters? No!
You'd leave as a hero. Genuinely. Now, please.
All right, Goldacre. I'm listening.
Good evening. I'm Charlene Lane. Further news is coming out of Baghdad tonight following the death of American businessman Casper Logue. Senior attaché Richard Hammond has issued a statement in which he suggests that Mr. Logue's death may have had some links to the Baghdad criminal underground, specializing in the smuggling abroad of precious artifacts. It is alleged that Caspar Logue may have met his death at the hands of his nefarious contacts. Richard Hammond today returned a priceless artifact depicting an ancient demon to the Baghdad National Museum and announced his intention to set up a charity, the Richard Hammond Foundation, dedicated to the recovery of those same lost artifacts, before he leaves for Washington to take up a senior investigative post on Capitol Hill.
All right, Mr. Kinderman. Are we clear?
Yes, Mr. Goldacre. We're clear. I am to drive these two Iraqis to a military airfield outside of Baghdad.
And there you will...
see them safely on board a plane bound for the U.S.
Very good. And then?
Then I'm going to forget that any of this ever happened.
It's amazing how quickly the details of Mr. Logue's tragic passing have scattered away like so much dust.
Almost as if it never happened at all.
And after you've done this little favor for me, that's just the way it's going to be. As if it never happened. Now, let's get the show on the road, shall we?
How could I deny them Mexican eyes?
I'll see you on your return. Asira?
Yes, Mr. Goldacre?
Is Rahim there?
I'm here.
I take it you have all you need? Passports, visas?
Yes.
What if Hammond tried to make more trouble for us?
As Mr. Hammond is... however, reluctantly bankrolling this whole thing, I don't think he's going to make any waves.
You give him tape?
I don't think so. Not just yet. I'm sure Mr. Hammond will consider getting you two set up in the States as an investment in his future career.
Mm. This is Iraq, kids. We're all businessmen here.
What will you do now, Mr. Goldacre?
Administrate the Richard Hammond Foundation for the next few months, and then... who knows?
Goodbye, Mr. Goldacre.
You both take care now. On you go, Mr. Kinderman.
And there the story must end. Oh, wise and happy king, in a ball of desert dust.
And the statue?
Why, the statue remained safe in the confines of the museum from that day on. And amongst the visitors was a woman who wrote a most learned book about it. But that was not the most interesting thing about her, oh no. For this woman had a cousin. A cousin who traveled the world in search of stories and who, one dazzling night in Damascus, met a mysterious woman.
Who?
Well... that radiant majesty is another story.
Which I will hear tomorrow.
But I will be dead tomorrow.
Don't be ridiculous, Shahrazad. I will hear it here, as the sun sets above these gardens.
As your majesty commands.
In The Caspar Logue Affair by Sebastian Bonchkevich, Shahrazad was played by Serene Saba,